Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Your Peugeot car or van might benefit from a free software upgrade. For more information and to find out if this applies to your vehicle, call the lads in Slattery's Garage, puck on 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Thanks, Pat, and welcome back to Tip Today, 1800 938 007. And if you want to get into our draw for that lovely prize, a €50 voucher for Shoe for You in Clonmel, just stick a Shoe for You at the end of your contribution to us if you're joining in our conversations or coming up with something brand new. Margaret is in Banshee, and she said it was lovely to hear Therese talking about the phone exchanges and the coin boxes. Young people today would not have a clue what she's talking about. And it just goes to show you. Yeah, it's interesting because some time ago I was trying to explain to, I think it was my son or it was my daughter, the whole business of picking up the phone and putting in the coins and pressing button A and button B. Sure, they thought it was from a different planet, as usual. Listen around to say, Fran, nobody's going to wipe Israel off the map. You will see that if you read your Bible, God's Word, says our listener, where God said, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. Shalom. Israel, says the listener. Somebody else saying, just want to say, I was in Barrington's Hospital for tests. Great hospital and staff, brilliant. Well done to the hospitals waiting on results. So very down at the moment, says Val. Well, we wish you the very best with those results. It's a nightmare waiting for results, Val, isn't it? Absolute nightmare. We wish you well. Another listener saying there's plenty of areas in Ukraine that we don't need to take people from anymore. Our hotels and every spare bed is being used. And all the while you can book empty rooms in hotels in Ukraine for holidays. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And that's playing into the conversation that I had with Thomas there, where we were looking at the what's going on in Ukraine at the moment. Now it is time for this.
Tipperary Women in Business on Tip FM. Funded by Commissioner Naman with the television licence fee. Tipperary's
Tip FM. This week's woman in business is Una O'Dwyer, the owner of Cashel-based business, The Butcher's Daughter. And from a young age, she watched her dad skillfully craft meats and open his own butcher shop, of course, in Cashel in 1973 in Friar Street there. Now almost 51 years on and inspired by his tradition, Una has mastered the craft and has her own company. And she joins me now. Una, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran. How are you?
I'm very well, indeed. Lovely to talk to you today. Do you know what I was struck with reading about you, Una, is how hard you worked as a young girl, between being a great sportswoman and all of that, but working so hard in school and all of that. How did you fit it all in?
I suppose myself and my three sisters, we actually didn't know any different. We grew up above the shop, so any spare time was down, you know, making burgers, making sausages, bagging potatoes, whatever was needed for the shop. It was funny, I suppose, we started to find our feet even within the business, because Niamh, my sister older than me, she used to always lean towards the deli, I was never in the deli, and she's a home economics teacher now. So it's funny, even at an early age, how we kind of sought out our preferred areas of the business even as well, you know. But look, we knew no different. It was just how we were reared, and you know, very happy to do it, and look, loads of great memories.
I'm sure there are indeed. But strangely enough, you took to the actual butchering of the meat, Una. The mind boggles on how you found that attractive.
Fiona, actually, my younger sister, she's a fully qualified butcher as well. She works with me now here making the sausages. Again, just probably a decision helping to, you know, balance family life. You know, just we don't work Saturdays, so that helps there. But yeah, we just loved it. I suppose there was no boys in our family. I was probably the tomboy. Always loved just being at the other end of my dad's arm. And whether it was looking after the cattle in the evening time and at the weekends or like that, from the slaughterhouse into the butchering of them, I just loved it. I just loved being part of what he was doing. And, you know, I was intrigued learning how to do it. And, you know, you'd start off by deboning a lamb because that was smaller and easier. Mm. And then when we start working on the the carcass of, you know, of the heifer, it was definitely more intricate and, you know, and very proud then when you succeed in a certain area or whatever of doing it, you know. So, look, it was, I suppose, just how we were reared and, you know, what you know and, you know, took great pride in it.
Of course, yeah. And you had the abattoir on the family farm as well, didn't you?
That's right, yeah. And it's still here and it's still fully operational. So, like that, I suppose we have our own land around here as well, and take great pride, I suppose, in finishing the animals. I always say to my own kids now, you know, when they say, "Oh, that bit of beef was lovely," I'd say, "Well, that animal was very happy, with nice, calm life, and you know, they're treated very well, and it definitely, you know, pays off in what you're eating." And again, it just comes back to the quality and the pride in what we do, and I suppose growing up seeing that and watching that, I can fully appreciate it now, you know.
You were a very successful sportswoman as well. Camogie was very important to you at the time, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it was the only time I was allowed off work early, you know, if we had training or a big match. Absolutely. Look, I was very fortunate to be part of a great bunch of Tipperary girls back there in the 1990 on when we won the first Senior All-Ireland. Lucky to have five, but as I said, just, you know, the people involved that time, and just very lucky to be there at that time, because there's an awful lot of hard work gone on since then. And look, the main thing is now is that we can see it all coming, all that hard work has been paid off now. Again, the girls winning the league final there the weekend before last, yeah. And it's really, really great to see it coming through again.
The famine over, as they say, which is news indeed.
Yeah, exactly, and a real positive summer ahead as well, like, you know, and they're taking great steps every year for the last couple of years. So it's great, great for everyone involved.
And again, looking at the workload and the demands on you as a young person, I would have thought, you know, when you got to a certain age that you'd run a mile from it in some way, but of course you didn't, Una.
No, I suppose when I was in school, I kind of wanted, again, to learn more or whatever, so I went to UCC and I did food science and technology, again, just trying to broaden my horizons, you know, not just what I saw at home, but trying to learn more, get more into the science element of what's going on. And that course definitely helped me when I came back and you know, started with the sausages and trying to delve deeper into not just doing what I knew because what I saw, but understanding the kind of the more the science behind what's going on as well. So I really enjoyed that course. I went traveling to Australia for about, I think it was 4 months after that, just because I almost felt I was going to go straight back into the shop, but yet I didn't feel fully ready. So I think the little break there and coming home to mum and dad and just saying, what would you think if I took over the sausages and just tried to take them further afield? I'd say they were delighted, number one, that I was kind of interested in hanging around, but probably a little bit surprised as well that I was kind of going off on such a limb at the same time, you know.
And why home in on the sausages and perfect that aspect of the business, Una?
It might sound a little bit silly, but when my two older sisters were, you know, away in college and I was still at home, so I was in the shop all the time, I can recall the amount of parents that were coming in and saying, "Martin, can you give me, say, 5 half-pounds and can you pack them separately? Because they have to bring them home to all the, or back to college to all the housemates." And it really, I suppose, Fran, it was a little bit of cuteness on my behalf in one sense, because I knew I wasn't starting from scratch. I knew that there was a good product there to begin with. And that was it. It was just to set myself the challenge of see if I could take it further afield and then, you know, maybe just improve the variety, improve the range and widen the range, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say there. And you know, that was kind of, I suppose, the challenge I set myself.
And was it at that stage then that you formed your own? Was it Cashel Fine Foods to begin with? Was it?
Yes. So it's Cashel Fine Foods is my company name. And then, like that, I started in the back of the shop where Dad was paying all the ESB bills, but I started to buy in the product and sell the product back to him. That was literally how I started. And when I was doing, at that stage, I called around to a couple of other butchers, because I suppose I knew them because he was involved in different butchering groups. So I was able to even product test off other butchers, you know, in the Munster area, even, you know, that far afield. And just ask them, what would they think? Would they buy this product? You know, if I was able to supply them with a good sausage, would that free up somebody in their establishment to, you know, bone out more cattle or serve more customers, you know? So that was the rationale behind it. So yeah, that's where we took it. And then in 2000, after setting up there in about 2005, 2006, we built a purpose unit here out beside the abattoir in Dean's Grove, just out the road there under the rock. We started our own unit there, and we worked from there all the time. And it was in 2015 then that we started The Butcher's Daughter as a brand name, just because we started to focus a little bit more on the retail shelf, not just supplying other butchers. So that was where The Butcher's Daughter came from.
Brilliant brand. And I mean, but you were always known as The Butcher's Daughter, Una, were you not?
I don't know if anyone ever said it straight out. I suppose my point of view, there's four butcher's daughters as far as I'm concerned. And that's how we grew up, and that's how we looked at it. But it's very well named. And I have to admit, when I was calling somewhere for the first time to introduce myself to see were they interested in buying my sausages, a shop or something, and when I say The Butcher's Daughter, straight away there was a smile on their face and they were interested in hearing more. It didn't feel so much like a cold call, if you know what I mean, where I was trying to go in and sell my sausages. It was I got the opportunity to tell my story, I suppose,
How do you make sausages stand out from each other? Because a lot of people who might go into the finer points as a sausage is a sausage. But what makes yours special?
Well, for us, the most important part of it is the meat, and it's cut of meat. So it's the shoulder. So it's not bits of trims off, byproduct of other products. For us, it's the full shoulder, and I want that shoulder to be the main thing in my sausages, and that's for us where we stand out, and it has to be Irish, it has to be Borbia quality assured, because that gives us assurance of the step before us. And we buy into that, and we're part of that scheme as well, because again, it just keeps us improving all the time as well. And that's what we want to do, is to be challenged to improve all the time, whether it's on quality or sustainability, because sustainability is so massive now. We're constantly working to improve on that as well.
And you're developing other flavours. Well, I know you have other flavours, but it's amazing the way people's tastes have changed over the years and how we'll embrace something a little bit different now as well, Una.
And that's exactly it. And, people travel more. We have great people coming in to live in this country that we're learning from as well. We're embracing their tastes and their cultures. And if anything, it's just opening up our minds and our taste buds to trying these. I will admit the breakfast sausage, the original sausage, is still very much the main sausage we make here. But look, with weather like we're having this past couple of days, all the other flavours will be sought after for the barbecue, and we'll be very busy with them. So long may this little bit of sunshine continue now also.
Well, for sure. You've three children yourself. Are they involved in the business? Would they like to be involved in the business, Una?
I'm not sure yet. The oldest is 11. They come in and they give a little hand every now and then, doing odd jobs around, just as I feel it's important to have them in and have them, let them know. But when Ina, he's the oldest one, he'll get another year now, and then he'll be fully in. I'll put it that way.
Isn't it brilliant?
It is holidays. And it's important. I think it didn't do me any harm, and certainly won't do them any harm.
We're talking about all the good stuff involved, but of course, needless to say, I mean, you have to adhere to rules and regulations and protocols and all of that kind of thing where food is concerned as well. Is that difficult, Una?
I wouldn't say it's difficult, in the sense that it is what it is. So you're adhering to. We're governed by the Tipperary County Council Local Authority Vet, so they'll come like at least once a month for an inspection, and they'll come at any stage. We don't know if they're coming, and there is a lot of paperwork, and basically it's about traceability. So when any sausage is out for sale, we know exactly what went into each and every sausage. And look, that is important, because that it is reassurance, that's giving people peace of mind. And that's what we want to do. We want to show off the quality and the pride we've put into it. So that's not a big thing for us. We're also part of Borbia, as I mentioned there, so that's extra. Extra audits. And again, what that does, it just forces us to keep improving and continually strive for new heights, really. It just constantly keep improving on the quality front. And you know what? That's not a bad thing either.
Do you look outside of the country? Are there possibilities there as well? Because it's a premier product and it's a wonderful brand. So what about the future, Una?
Yeah, absolutely. We'd always kind of hope someday we'll be exporting. We haven't got there. We haven't got there yet, as in we haven't need to just push that far. We're lucky enough. We've been, you know, and I could be my worst enemy, my own worst enemy here, where I'm very cautious in that every step we take, I want to make sure we're able to deliver over, you know, above and beyond what we promised. So, and that's what we do. So I might be slower than others to keep taking next steps, but we're going in the right direction. So. Very lucky, and look, very lucky because of the good people I have with me. I'm blessed to have the people I have here working with me, and great people, and really, 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 I suppose, delighted to have them, because it makes my job way easier, you know.
One of the reasons we do this slot is to get advice for people starting out from successful business people like yourself, Una. I mean, if you were to give advice to people who are, particularly to women who are trying to start up, what would you say to them?
I'd say definitely, first of all, reach out to the Enterprise Board and the LEO, because they offer, the County Council, they'll offer, you know, absolutely brilliant supports in all areas, whether it's IT kind of figuring out, whether it's initial brainstorming, seeing if your business plan down on paper, you know, put it down there, see, will it work? And then if anything, they'll help you find faults in it that, you know, you can overcome before you actually take the first step. So that, for me, is a massive thing to do first, because the supports are there. It's just, you know, to be aware of them and to know where to get that information from or get that help from.
But if you have an idea, I guess you would urge people to go with it, but you'll need to work hard and you'll need the passion for it, I suppose.
Yeah, you need passion. It's definitely hard work. Definitely hard work. Look, anyone that's out there, but look, there's probably not too much that's easy nowadays either, Fran. So, yeah. You know... look, yeah, passion is important without a doubt, and you know, I always bring it back to a bit of pride in what you do, and you know, feel good about it. No, it's like playing your camogie match, even, you know, you put your best foot forward, and you know, you're delighted. So that it's passion and pride, I think, and that goes on, kind of comes across on the field as well. So.
I remember your dad opening up on Farr Street there in 1973. I became obsessed, Una, with his burgers. So much so, yeah. We used to buy them and cook them. I would eat them cold and everything. I used to take them with me places. I mean, they were just so absolutely gorgeous. And it was novel for us, you see, at the time as well, in Cashel, to be able to buy burgers in a butcher shop. You know?
Imagine. I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
I know, it is indeed. We wish you well, Una. Lovely to chat to you. And thanks very much indeed for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Fran. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye to you now. Bye-bye. That's Una O'Dwyer, the owner of The Butcher's Daughter, that beautiful brand of sausages. If you haven't tried them so far, and if, like me, you're a bit of a connoisseur of sausages, you will love them. I promise you, you really will. 083-311-3311. Sinead was on to compliment Thomas Conway on his passion and knowledge about global news and global events. He says, Sinead says he's a great addition to Tip FM. Well, I absolutely agree with you where that is concerned. Let me see, Marie on to say the interview about the telephonist brings me back so many years, Fran. After I had my first child, when I needed to get a message to my husband in work, I had to walk a mile to get to the nearest telephone box all those years ago.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.